Life is keeping commitments. Life is making and keeping commitments. Life is commitments. God tells us in His holy word that I am so committed to you, I created you, I gave you the personality you have, I've given you the path of life that you're on, I have made sure that I will never leave you nor forsake you, and Jesus says, I commit myself to you. I give you all that I am, all that I have, Jesus said, I give to you. That's commitment. Well, what if Jesus had gotten so nervous? Oh, Satan really tried to chill him out. What if Jesus had gotten so nervous while hanging on the cross, realizing that he could call legions of angels to deliver him, God the Father just waiting for his son to even give a hint, I can't do this, Father. You and I would not be saved today. You and I would not have a future today. You and I would not have a connection to a Savior who is so committed to us. He said, I want to hear your prayers. I'll watch after your boy, your daughter. I'll be there with them knowing that you can't, but I can. I will never leave them. I will never forsake them. Do you realize what a commitment that is? Haven't you had life just blasting at you like shotguns? Oh, it's worse than machine gun. Like a shotgun continually blasting at you. That's life. And sometimes life really hurts. Sometimes, I don't care if they're using birdshot, it's according to how close they are, it still hurts. Do you hear me? That's life. But I got news for you. I happen to know the creator of life. I know the one who gave me life. I know the one who allowed me to be born again, born from above, born anew. I know him personally. His name is Jesus, and he went to a cross because he made a commitment before time was that he was going to give you and me a way out of sin. Well, I'm not out of sin yet. I'm not through the sin life yet. I'm living in a world. Have you ever noticed there's a lot of sin going on in this world? I'm living in a world of sin. My Savior says, I am ready and willing. I make a commitment to you. I will walk through with you. I will walk through. Through what, Lord? I'll walk through life with you. No matter the situation, I will be there. Oh, listen to me, young veterans. Listen well. You just might hear the voice of Jesus saying, you know, your mama was talking to me today. Your daddy was talking to me today about you. Your papa was talking to me about you. And I want you to know, I heard their prayer. Now listen to me. Parents, you lift your children up to the Lord in prayer. They are growing up in a world that is so vicious. You say, I got to turn loose. I got, no, you don't. You got to allow them to experience life, but you let the Lord know, Oh, that's better than anything you can do. You let the Lord know, Lord, I'm giving you my child. They're getting ready to go into combat. Lord, they're getting ready to go into the world. Lord, they hurt so bad. Lord, you see their agony. You feel their pain. I give them to you. Folks, there's not better protection than that. I guarantee you. There's no better protection in combat or better protection in the combat of this life. You're walking into a vicious world. And that world out there does not love you. But the creator of it does. The driver of that bus happens to be Jesus Christ. Know him personally. And he don't mess around watching after his children. You see, that's commitment he made. He made that commitment to you. He made that commitment to me. And then what he teaches us is this. He said, I want you to pay attention to being committed in your life. Make a commitment and keep it. Oh, folks, sometimes that commitment you make seems like you're going to explode because you've made it. You won't. You won't explode. Do you know the misery you're feeling is just you parents that's taken some of the hurt away from your own children? Now when you know that, you're committed. The one you love, ready to go into combat, ready to go into school, college, out in the workforce. That world is a war to them. Satan means nothing good for their life. But I happen to know a Savior who keeps his commitments, and in keeping his commitments, he's already conquered Satan. Satan is a defeated foe. And when someone tells God that Satan's messing with their loved one, God gets involved. Make a commitment to pray. Make a commitment to love. Make a commitment to be more than willing to die for that love. There's a lot of things worse than death. Sometimes it's called life. But the key to that is you keep your commitment. I promise you that death, and you will close your eyes in death one day. I told you, as the light dims here, Jesus turns it up brighter on the other side. You're not going to trip. You're not going to stumble because you belong to Jesus. He made a commitment. Well, you know, in the book called the Bible, if you read it, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and light. I am your life. I am your hope. I am always with you. Do you know why that human beings so often break their commitment? Because they resent God. That's right. Oh, I cringe when I hear a fellow Christian say, I can't believe God let that happen. What, life? Yes. But he gave us a path to walk in it. And in that path, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be there. When you get off that path, Larry, I'm going with you. So what are you going to blame God for? Well, God took my child. And God took your child for a reason. But that child is with God. There's nothing that can protect your family greater than a commitment of Jesus Christ. So why do we blame God? Christians, you're classified as godly. But if you blame God, that is an ungodly act. Blaming God. I always want to blame somebody. Job 36, verse 13. For the godless are full of resentment. Can a Christian be godless? Yeah, sure act that way. Yep. Because those actions can be as godless as it can be. And when you're blaming God, shaking your finger, angry with God because something went on in your life, you need to point that finger right back at yourself. Because if it went wrong, you're the one that caused it to go wrong. My Savior is a perfect Savior. Amen. And He perfectly saved me. And all who call on His name, for the godless are full of resentment. Even when He punishes them, they refuse to cry out to Him for help. I'll do it myself. Oh, I'm tough. No, you're not. You're flesh and blood. You bleed. You break. Your spirit, without the Spirit of Christ lifting you up, will falter and fail. The spirit to want to keep going on can be lifted. But God says, I'm there. As that everlasting spirit to encourage you, you keep going. You see, I can't quit. I can't quit. Life. I have to fight for life as long as there's breath in me. That's required by God. I read the book. Folks, look, I know what's waiting for Christians. It is awesome, but I have no rights to give up and quit just so I can get there, because it ain't right down here yet. And your calling, your touch that God has given you is going to mean something to someone else. I've told you before, you are their miracle. Not only can you be, you are. Ask any family about the idea of losing one of those loved ones. Don't you understand? Kids, you are your parents' miracle. Oh, you're hard to handle. Oh, you'll make them pull their hair out. But I tell you this, you're the light that God has given them of what love is all about. And not only that, you're just a reflection of them. When they were your age. So you remember that. Proverbs 19 verse 3. People's own foolishness ruins their lives. But in their minds, they blame God. Their own foolishness. And they blame God. The only hope I have is my Savior, my God incarnate, meaning God came down in human form as His only begotten Son to die on a cross for you and me. And whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And to be saved means taken care of through eternity. Salvation of Jesus is not something temporary. Well, I'm saved on earth. I'm saved. Yep. I'm going to die soon, but I'm saved. Well, you're saved all the way through eternity. Count it safe. You're already on home plate. count yourself, Christian, as already being there. But in order to show your appreciation, make a commitment and keep it. Be committed to the ones you love. Be committed to what you see God is leading you into in life. Be committed. Follow through. It's the commitment that'll get you through, not by your own power. When God sees your commitment, sees your great desire in your own heart, then it is He who gives the power to make it happen. What makes us break commitment? Distractions in our own culture. It's culture shot, isn't it? Distractions from the culture in which we live. World gets us distracted. They got a lot of flashing lights. That was always my downfall. You put a bunch of flashing lights up, and draw me to it just like a bug. Go straight to it, and I'd get zapped about as hard, too. But I enjoyed seeing it. I love the carnival atmosphere. Oh, there's no bigger kid than me when it comes to amusement parks. They don't call them that anymore, Brother Randy. I don't guess they got anything amusing left with them. You give me a Disney World, and I'm telling you, it doesn't matter whether Jason or Hunter would have been with me. Doesn't matter any of that. I'm just like a kid. I'm going to go ride this. You want to ride? No, Dad. Let's just, well, you go do that. I'm going over here. See, that's life. That's the world. And the lights are the distractions of a culture. Mark 4, verse 19. The attractions of the world, I told you it was in the book. The attractions of this world, and the delights of wealth, and the search for success, and lure of nice things come in and crowd out God. And you'll break your commitment to Him. I don't know how many hours are in a week. Some of you brainiacs know that. How many hours in a week? Google, huh? How many hours in a week? But you know, taking 1 hour out of your week to worship God in God's house with God's people, I don't think's asking too much, do you? Count those hours. You say, well, it's my free time. It's your free time to come unite together in fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, for it is the power of the church and the prayer from the church that opens every prison cell, that opens the gates to life, the gates to reality of living in this world. That comes from the unity of the church. Do we not know as an individual I am a Christian? As an individual you are a Christian, but you cannot represent the body of Christ. You cannot, because we're not good enough individually. So God decided to form the body of His Son left on earth, His church. We are united together, the body of Christ. But we must be united together. Then I got 1% of good in me. Maybe 1% of good in me. You got 1%. All of us get together, we got 100% of the power of Christ, but united together. That way, one human being does not exalt themselves above another. It is us united together as believers where the power is. That's where the love is. That's what a good food is. That's where it all is, folks. That's the power that you're looking for in combat. That's the power you need when you're off in a foreign land. When you're off in this land and it had become foreign, if you know what I mean. God says, don't let the distractions of a culture pull you away from Him. What happens? The world gets us in trouble. We fall in that ditch of life. And then all of a sudden we cry, Lord, get me out of this and I'll never ever do it again. All that is such a lie. Folks, you don't have to say that. Just cry out in the name of the Lord because He's already there. Amen. He will lift you out of the mire. He will clean you up. And He'll set you back on your feet. And it'll be Him who says, oh, Larry, don't promise. Just do. Your actions. Love someone. Care enough that you are ready and willing to give your life for someone you love. If you won't give your life for the ones you love, the rest of the world doesn't have a chance. There's a lot of unloved people in this world. Jesus sent His church to love them and to bring them to where the love truly is. You're a beacon, Christian. Let the light of Christ shine in you. You need to dim your light a little bit. And let the light of Christ shine and bring them in. That's commitment of realizing it's not you. It's the Christ in you. It is His love you're going to express. His word that you're going to share. Share that word. Be strong. Be firm. Always loving. Always forgiving. Ecclesiastes 7:4, a fool thinks only about having a good time. It's not about good times. I'll have a world of good times, folks. Doesn't take that much anymore to make me happy. I'm not going to talk about peanut butter fudge, save my life. It doesn't take much for me. But I'll tell you what, that little God gave me. Everything I have is a gift from God. I own nothing. It belongs to God. I, as an individual, I'm weak. Good gracious, this body is worn out, hurts all the time, and all of that stuff. And I'd be told by my wife and my own family, suck it up, Marine, and go on. Here's a fact. I'll go on, but it's not the Marine Corps that'll carry me. You'll go on, but it's not the Army. It's not even the Air Force. It's not the Navy. It's not the Coast Guard. It's Jesus. It went to a cross, came down from it. They took Him down. He had to conquer death. So in order for death to be conquered, so you and I wouldn't have to live death, I don't have to die. I'm a Christian. His body's going to get out of here, but I'm not in it. No, I'll be waiting for you. God says, I want you to know something about the cross. It's my symbol of my love for you. I love you so much. What a gift, my friends. What a gift. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you so much love, I want you to share it. I want you to reach out to those that people say are unreachable. I want you to go down in that ditch and I want you to tell them they have hope. And it's their Savior who sent you there. God created me and you to be independent. I preached enough sermons on that. We're individual Christians, independent thinkers, but not independent from Him. No, that means that you have your own mind, you have your own thought process, and God will bless you where you are, with who you are. But you're never independent from Him, but from the world you are. But listen, that selfish desire for independence. I don't have to do anything Mom or Dad tell me anymore. I'm 18. Oh, that's a dangerous age. Yes, I remember it well. I was in the Marine Corps at 17. I remember it well, wondering, I wished I was home. You know what I mean? You know, this ain't all it was cut out to be. Did you know those drill instructors can be mean? Yeah. And they even yell. Yeah. Selfish desire for independence. Proverbs 10:8. The self-sufficient fool falls flat on his face. Well, that's a little rough, isn't it, Brother Larry? Well, you talk to the Lord about that. I didn't write it. Falls flat on his face. But I'll tell you why. Until you get flat on your face in the ditch of life, you don't know what life is. Mm-hmm. When Jesus reaches down and grabbed a hold of you and he starts carrying you. You see, you don't want independence from God. Total dependence on Him and who He is. The greatest battle you'll ever fight is not the battle in a war of a nation, but the battle in your heart, in your mind, about life. And I'll tell you about something. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him are known. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Hey, warrior, take that little tune with you into the ways of the world and into combat. Well, that tune will wake you up. That tune will keep you going. That's the tune of remembering. You don't have to fear commitment. For the fear of commitment will make you lose your direction. Ecclesiastes 11:4, if you wait for a perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. I'll just wait and I'll talk. I'll accept the Lord later. Folks, over the years, I've heard many of them say, Berger, especially in the prison system. Now, chaplain, I'll get saved just before I die. Well, good luck with that one. I'll wait. You know, if there's no power and saying yes to Jesus, then why is everybody afraid to say yes to Jesus? Why does the world try to keep you from saying yes to Jesus and making a commitment to Him? Why? Because the world does not want you to have the power. They want you to depend on their power, that power in the world. It's faltering. It will fail. So, make that commitment to Christ. Proverbs 9:6. Leave behind your foolishness and begin to live. You haven't lived until you've opened your heart all the way to trusting Jesus. You haven't lived until you've seen yourself in a situation to where you were that close to a round coming by your head, a tracer round, on a porch in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, and all of the concrete flying all around, and you're terrified to the point you can't move. You can't move. And God speaks to a second lieutenant. Yes, sometimes they'll listen. Spoke to a second lieutenant, reached around that door, and pulled your pastor into that hall. That was a good second lieutenant. But see, he was also a Christian. He was listening. And I lived. That's life. Enjoy your life. Just remember, pay attention to your commitments. Just be a part of the fellowship of God. That's God's word, and it don't get better than God's word.